one who hears of it, but will enter it. The Prophet ﷺ, he continued, so Allah surrounded Jannah with difficulties and then told Jibril, and I've even seen this word difficulties translated as untasteful or unpleasurable things. But here the scholar, he translated as difficulties. Oh Jibril, now go look at it. After looking at it, Jibril came back and said, oh my Lord, by your glory, I am afraid that none will be able to enter it. And we see here a statement from the wisest, wallahu alam, amongst the malaika, the most knowledgeable amongst the malaika, the most honored amongst the malaika, whom Allah Azza wa Jal takes it upon himself to teach. Here he is with all of his knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon him. He said, oh my Lord, by your glory, I am afraid that none will be able to enter it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding of this religion. We see here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, he taught us another narration wherein the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Jannah is expensive. Okay, or the gift of Allah is expensive, and he taught us that this was the Jannah. So we have to work for it. We are not Christians. We are Muslims. Those who submit their lives, their self, their properties, their time to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of us, we have to commit ourselves to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we want the Jannah. If we want that expensive abode, we have to sell ourselves. We have to sell our lives, put it on stock, put it on the market. Right? Because wallahi, a person wakes up in the morning and he sells himself. He's selling himself to the paradise, or is he selling himself to the Jahannam wa na'adhu billahi min dhalik? We have to work, be servants of Allah. We have to form a habit of gathering good deeds, if we want to escape and to be able to understand and perceive the difficulties. We have to be able to decipher and keep our focus beyond what is beyond the dressing, the outer dressing of the paradise, which is difficulties. That we have to be able to understand, be stand firm, be steadfast and patient, and call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He will make us firm, that He will cause us to do good deeds to enter into this great place. This hadith tells us that the Jannah is so delightful and marvelous that no person in his right senses would ever want to miss it. Okay? So we go to some of the names of Jannah, some of the names of Al-Jannah. Some of the names of Al-Jannah that are found in the Quran. Number one, Al-Jannah, the garden. Number two, Jannatul Ma'wa, the garden of resort. Jannatul Adneen, the garden of residence. Jannatul Firdaus, the garden of paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us firdaus. Jannatul Khulid, Jannatul Na'im, the garden of eternity and the garden of delight. Dar as-Salam, the dwelling of peace. Darul Muqamah, the dwelling of residence. These names are descriptors because they describe various aspects of Jannah's pleasures. Inshallah ta'ala, we discuss some of them. Nothing in Al-Jannah is similar in quality to what is in this world. Jannah's magnificent is beyond our perception and comprehension. You cannot perceive the things that will occur in the paradise, okay, because of our limited knowledge as humans. It is described for us with familiar names and terms to enable us to imagine some of its grandeur. But in reality, it is far greater than our wildest dreams. The luxuries of Jannah are such that no human eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no heart can imagine. Therefore, in what follows, inshallah ta'ala, we will take a few glimpses from the blessed book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the blessed sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning the paradise. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, no soul knows what has been reserved for them of comfort for eyes as reward for what they used to do. Surah Al-Sajdah. No soul knows what has been reserved for them of comfort for their eyes as a reward for what they used to do. You know, you just don't taste pleasure. You just don't feel pleasure. Your body is, or the limbs of your body is not the only thing that feels pleasure. A form of pleasure is eyes, is seeing, sights. We have the customary term for it. We call it eye candy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there is plenty of this in the Jannah. No soul knows what is reserved for them of comfort for their eyes as reward for what they used to do. Also, hearing is a part of the pleasures of Jannah. But here Allah Azza wa Jal is specifically stating the pleasure and the comfort of the eyes. Subhanallah. Abu Huraira reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah said, interpretation of the meaning, this is Hadith Qudsi, I have prepared for my servants what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and what has not occurred to a human heart. This hadith in the Al-Bukhari, Muslim, and others. Now, this is not something hard for the intellect to grasp. How many people feel honored to be, for example, named something, if you give your child a name that no one has before, you love this. If you step foot on a place or a certain land that no one has stepped before, this is honor for you. People spend millions of dollars just to lay one foot on the moon, right? And there's nothing there. There's no gold there. There's no fruits there. There's no diamonds there. There's nothing but bare yet land, but yet we spill millions and millions and millions of dollars just to lay foot there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that this is a source of pleasure for us. This is why he has mentioned in hadith Qudsi, where he said, quotation of which, translation of which, I have prepared for my righteous servants what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and what has not occurred to a human heart. This hadith, Bukhari, Muslim, and others. We can be certain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to fulfill His promise. I ask you, who is more truthful to their promise other than Allah? Who is more truthful in their promise than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Than Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Al-Jannah is eternal. Okay? Al-Jannah is eternal. Jannah will last eternally. Once you're there, you will never leave. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. You do not have to pay a fee there, a fine. You do not have to every year pay your tax. You do not have to get a permit. Your permit doesn't expire after 100 years. You do not have to pay a ticket in order to... No! Allah Azza wa Jal has made this paradise eternal. Eternal. There will be no end to His glory and His pleasures or its dwellers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has said, translation of which, as for those who we have blessed, as for those who will be blessed with happiness, they will be granted Jannah, abiding therein as long as the heavens and the earth endure, except what your Lord shall will, and in an uninterrupted gift, this hadith in Surah Al-Hud. Now, according to the scholars, Sheikh, he gave a commentary here. Sheikh Jibali, Hafizullah, he gave a commentary here. According to the scholars, the explanation in this ayah refers to non-eternal beings that Allah will create for the pleasure of the people of Jannah, such as birds for eating, game, animals, etc. These obviously will not remain in Al-Jannah forever. So the Sheikh, he's saying the correct interpretation of this ayah, there will be animals and beasts and cattle that are made to die so that we may have the luxury of eating from them. So this is the interpretation of this ayah. Abu Sa'id and Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhuma reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, after the people of Jannah enter it, a caller will announce, indeed, you are promised now to live and never die, to be healthy and never weaken, to be youthful and never age, and to be happy and never grieve. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Hadith Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His mercy and his total capability of making us live eternal, taking the emotion of grief and worry from us. Worry, grief, pain will be haram in Al-Jannah. It is prohibited. You will not even have the capability of doing so. This is something easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say in translation of which, or a honored messenger will announce on the day of judgment, indeed, you are promised now to live and never die, to be healthy and never weaken, to be youthful and never age, and to be happy and never grieve. Hadith Muslim. Thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant to the believers everlasting happiness as a reward for their long-lasting, firm, and unbending faith in Him. Abdullah ibn Umar reported the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, translation of which, when the people of Jannah will have entered it, and the people of the fire will have entered it, death will be brought and will be placed between Jannah and hellfire, and will then be slaughtered. An announcement will be made, O people of Jannah, you will live eternally without death, and O people of hell, you will live eternally without death. The people of Jannah will be even more happy, i.e. to hear this, and the people of the fire will be even more sorrowful. This hadith is in Al-Bukhari, Muslim, and others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us to see that great sacrifice on that day when death in and of itself will be slaughtered. This hadith is in Al-Bukhari, Muslim, and Ahmad. Therefore, when death materializes a ram and will be slain in the sight of everyone to see, no doubt will remain in anyone's heart as to the eternity of the new life. And I say everyone with an understanding and everyone who believes in Allah and the last day, that we should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He put this dunya in our hands and the akhirah in our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow not the dunya to enter into our hearts. O Allah, place the dunya, the material world, under our feet and in our hands and not in our hearts. This should be the supplication of every mu'min. We have to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to learn to understand His proofs. If you understand the proofs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ayat of Allah, if you understand the book of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and the authenticity of the book of Allah, and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have to believe in everything that is relayed from Allah and His Messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam. On this great day, the believers, when they see this, when they see death materialize in the form of a ram and place between the paradise and the hellfire, the believers, the mu'mineen, on that day, this will be one of the greatest days that has ever been beheld before the believers. And the people of the fire, when they see that the Jahannam, when they see that there is no way out, there is no escape, there is no death, when they see themselves, when they see this ram materialize into death, this is one of the most horrible days that has ever occurred. Before them. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us understanding in this world, give us focus and firmness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on the sirat al-mustaqim and guide us along the path that He has blessed. So we talk about His gates, some of the gates of the paradise of the Jannah. Jannah has gates through which the believers will enter. The width of each gate is the distance of 40 years of travel. And a day will come when they will all be crowded with people. Can you imagine that? One gate of the paradise is the distance between each, the width of, the distance of each gate is 40 years of travel. Can you imagine how humongous this gate is? In that day, and there will come a time when each and every gate will be crowded with people. Once inside, the believers will never come out again, nor will they wish to do so. That will be the end of their worries and concerns. Upon entering it, the angels will greet them. As-salamu alaykum. As-salamu alaykum, ya fulan fulan. As-salamu alaykum, ya fulan fulan. As-salamu alaykum, ya so and so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, translation of which, and those who feared and obeyed that Lord will be led to Jannah in groups. When they reach its gates will be open. And its keepers will say to them, peace be upon you. You have done well. Enter it then for an eternal life. This is Surah Al-Zumr, Surah Al-39, Ayat number 73. Specifically, Jannah, it has 8 gates, okay? The believer will be... A believer who excelled in a particular act of worship will be invited to enter the gate or enter the Jannah through the gate pertaining to that act. And the Sheikh, he gave his proof. He said, Suhail bin Sa'ad radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jannah has 8 gates. And this hadith is in Bukhari. Jannah has 8 gates. One of them called Ar-Rayhan, Ar-Rayyan, the thirst quencher, that only those who fasted will enter, or fasted frequently, or the people of fasting. This could also be understood by the people who are, when you see them, they are known for this great quality of fasting, or fasting a lot. Can y'all believe this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a gate. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, was translated as Jannah has 8 gates, one of them called Al-Rayyan. This is translated as the thirst quencher. The thirst quencher. That only those who fasted frequently, or i.e. frequently, will enter. Can you believe what, can you try to imagine what type of eye candy you would have here when you enter into this gate? One of the gates of Al-Jannah is called the thirst quencher, Al-Rayyan. Can you imagine how much water and milk and honey and? Subhanallah. La ilaha illallah. The believers who excelled in several acts of worship will be invited to enter through several gates. And it will be up to those to choose the gate to enter. We should then strive to do more prayer, charity, and fasting, etc., with the hope of attaining the honor of being invited to enter through more than one gate. Let me ask you a question, everyone is listening. What if I told you that there will be gates who will be calling your name, or there will be gates will be calling you. Allah tabaraka ta'ala knows best how, but the only thing that pops in my head is a similarity is the DMV. When you're waiting, you get your ticket, right? And you're waiting patiently, and you're looking at the number, and all of a sudden, bing! They call out your number. After 2 hours of waiting in the DMV, especially you New Yorkers, right? How would that make you feel when you finally get your number? What if a gate of Jannah all of a sudden called out your name after years of waiting after a whole lifetime of pain, you finally hear your name. How would that make you feel? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was teaching the Sahaba Abu Bakr, he got so excited when he heard this particular statement. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, will any one of us, or will anyone be called from all of the gates?" And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he affirmed, he said, "Yes, and I hope," or he prayed, he said, "and I pray that you will be among them." What kind of honor? Can you imagine that day? Can you imagine on this day, everyone in plain view, there's millions and quadrillions and millions squared, Allahu tabarak wa ta'ala, from Adam all the way until the last one of us, sees that each gate has called your name specifically. How much honor is this? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with Abu Bakr and the Sahaba and our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we switch to a portion where concerning the levels of al-Jannah. Even though all those who enter in Jannah will be in an eternal joy and happiness, they will not all be of the same level therein. They will vary in levels according to their good deeds in this life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding to raise for His pleasure, to do deeds specifically to please Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We have to learn to tread the path of the Sahaba. We have to learn to be like those whom Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has said in His statement, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Allah عز وجل, He has taught us to pray in every raqa'a. In every raqa'a, we have to have a goal to follow those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed, whom Allah Azza wa Jalla has guided, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a stamp of approval on their aqeedah and on their actions. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Abu Huraira, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him, reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, translation of which, whoever believes in Allah and His Messenger, performs the prayer and fasts Ramadan, it will be a right upon Allah to admit him to Jannah, whether he migrates for Allah's cause or remain in his homeland. Upon hearing this, the companions asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, should we not announce this to the people?" He replied, alayhi salatu wassalam, translation of which, "Indeed, Jannah has 100 levels that Allah prepared for those who strive for His cause. The distance between every two levels is like the distance between the heaven and the earth. Therefore, when you ask Allah, ask Him for al-firdaus al-a'la, the uppermost paradise. It is the highest and the best part of al-jannah. immediately above it is the most merciful stone, and the rivers of Al-Jannah flow out of it. The throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This hadith, Bukhari and Imam Ahmad. And some new shahada will try to configure how does the Jannah have so many levels and the middle part of it is the highest part. Our Sheikh Uthaymeen, Muhammad Saleh bin Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said it is like a dome. So all you Americans, all you people who are aware of the customs here, the football, if you have a football stadium, you can picture the football stadium. And the highest part of the football stadium is what? The middle part. And the lowest part of the football stadium is what? The outskirts of it. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the highest part of Al-Jannah is the best part. Immediately above it is the most merciful throne. And the rivers of Jannah flow out of it. So the rivers of Jannah are flowing from the throne of Allah tabarakhu wa ta'ala. The difference between the levels of Al-Jannah is extremely large. Abu Sa'id reported the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, was translated as which, indeed the people in Jannah will observe those of high levels above them like you observe this bright star far in the horizon because of the great distance or the great difference among them. Hadith Bukhari, Muslim, and Imam Ahmad. You should remember that our deeds in this life determine our level in Jannah. We should not be content with the lowest levels of Jannah. Rather, we should strive hard and ask Allah sincerely to admit us to the uppermost part, which is the middle part, and the Firdaus, which is the best and the highest part of Al-Jannah. Al-Jannah. Now we go to the people, inshallah ta'ala, the first people to enter Al-Jannah. The first human to enter into the Jannah will be the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Anas reported the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, was translated as which, on the resurrection day I will come to the gate of Jannah and seek admission. The gatekeeper will say, who are you? I will reply, Muhammad. He will say, I have been commanded to open for you and for no one before you. Hadith Muslim. Hadith Sahih Muslim. Those who will enter the Jannah next will be the prophets and the best of the righteous. They will look most beautiful and gracious. Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu reported the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, translation of which, the first group of the people of Jannah first group of people entering Jannah will be like a full moon, i.e. in brilliance, and those following them will be like the brightest star in the sky. They will not urinate, nor defecate, nor blow their nose from mucus, nor spit. Their sweat will be like musk. Their wives will be al-hurun 'ain, the wide-eyed maidens. their characters will be similar, i.e. in elegance. They will all resemble their forefather, Adam, alayhi salam, 60 covenants tall, a cubit is a cubit is like a arm's length, or a cubit is like 20 inches, I think it is. 20 inches. Each cubit is 20 inches. So, 60 cubits is 20 times 60. Okay, tall. This hadith is in al-Bukhari and Muslim. Okay, so if we have an engineer in the crowd, maybe they could take the time to calculate 20 inches times 60 and break that down in feet, and maybe at the end of the class they could give that to me, inshallah ta'ala. In this hadith, that the believers will be free from all bodily functions that are considered tedious and unpleasant. As for their character, they'll be alike in goodness, and none of them will have evil or rude qualities. A special merit will be given to the believers who were tried with poverty in this life, and therefore would not have to account for wealth in the next life. They will precede the rich believers into Jannah by many years. Abdullah ibn Amr reported the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, translation of which, indeed on the resurrection day, the poor among the muhajirun will precede the wealthy to Jannah by 40 years. Hadith in Muslim. Let's go to the actual paradise, okay? Jannah is full of shady trees that are always heavy with fruits. Their stems are made of pure gold. Abu Huraira reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, translation of which, there is no tree in Jannah but that it has a gold stem. This hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. Some trees in Jannah are enormous, humongous. Okay, Abu Sa'id reported the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, translation of which, indeed there is a tree in Jannah that a rider of a swift horse, i.e. from this life, would not be able to cross it in 100 years. This is a humongous tree. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala knows best what is the name of this tree. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that this tree is colossal. Okay, this tree, this specific tree that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it would take 100 years of traveling, i.e. from this life, to cross a shade. He would not be able to cross a shade. Okay. Hadith Bukhari, Muslim, and others. Its rivers, some of the rivers in Jannah. Jannah has numerous rivers filled with various good drinks. They flow beneath the places and dwellings of the people of Jannah, so that they reach and drink from them whenever they wish. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, translation of which, indeed Allah will admit those who have believed and done righteous deeds to gardens beneath this river's flow. Hadith is in this chapter 47, ayat number 12. The most common substances flowing in Al-Jannah's rivers are pure water, milk, non-intoxicating wine, and honey. All most sweet and refreshing, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, translation of which, here is a parable of the garden of Al-Jannah, or the garden, that is promised to the righteous. It has rivers of water that time does not alter, rivers of milk whose taste will never declines, rivers of wine delicious to those who drink, and rivers of purified honey. They will have in it all kinds of fruits in addition to forgiveness from their Lord. Can this be compared to those who will abide eternally in the fire, and will be given to drink boiling water that will cut their intestines into pieces. SubhanAllah. Chapter Surah Muhammad, or chapter 47, ayat number 15. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, translation of which, indeed there is in Al-Jannah a sea of water, a sea of honey, a sea of milk, and a sea of wine. The rivers then gush out from them. This is in Imam At-Tirmidhi, Imam Ahmad, verified authentic by Sheikh Al-Abaini, rahimahullah. One of the famous rivers of Al-Jannah is Al-Kawthar, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during his Isra. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Al-Jannah accompanied by Jibril alayhi salam and saw many of its marvels. Anas reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, was translated as which, I entered Jannah and saw a river whose banks are lined with tents. Each tent made of one, i.e. large, pearl. I touched with my hand the stream bed and found nice smelling musk. I asked Jibril, what is this river, O Jibril? He replied, this is Al-Kawthar river that Allah granted you. This hadith, Bukhari, Ahmed, and others. The people of Jannah will live eternally without growing old. They will remain at the youthful age of 30-some years. Mu'az bin Jabal, radiyallahu anhu, reported that the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, translation of which, the people of Jannah will enter it having no facial or bodily hair. Their eyes will appear to be lined with khul, autonomy. They will all be 30 or 33 years old. This hadith is in Imam At-Tirmidhi, Imam Ahmad, verified to be Hasan by Al-Albani rahimahullah. Abu Hurairah reported the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he who enters Jannah will be happy without misery. His clothes will never wear out and his youth will never end. Hadith Muslim. Allah tabaraka ta'ala says, was translated as which about their faces? Faces of the believers will be on that day shine with happiness, well pleased with the fruit of their effort. They will be in sublime gardens where you will never hear empty talk. Therein will be flowing springs, elevated seats, cups, place readily to drink, lined up with cushions and spread out carpets. Allahu Akbar. Surah Al-Ghashiyah, chapter 88, ayat number 8 through 16. Allah continues, translation of which, but those who have done good is the ultimate good in store, and even more. Nor darkness, nor disgrace will overshadow their faces. It is they who will be the people of Jannah. Their abode will be eternally. Surah Yunus, chapter 10, 26. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will admit the people of Jannah into splendid gardens as wide as the heavens and the earth. Allah azza wa jal says, quote unquote, hasten to forgiveness from your Lord and a garden as wide as heavens and the earth, prepared for the righteous. In their gardens, the believers will have as much gold and silver as they wish. Abu Musa reported the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, translation of which, two gardens of silver, some believers, i.e. some believers will have, two gardens of silver, their utensils, and everything in them, and, i.e. others, will have two gardens of gold, their utensils, and everything in them, i.e. in the beginning, nothing will prevent the people of Jannah from looking at their Lord except the garment of dignity, veiling his face above the garden of residence. Subhanallah, 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 subhanallah. We'll be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala almost any time we want to. And nothing will be veiling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except the garment of dignity veiling his face above the garden of residence. Adeneen. This hadith is in Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. Can you imagine the greatest pleasure in al-Jannah is to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most beautiful. He has not made anything more beautiful than him. One of Allah's qualities is al-jameel, or the most beautiful, if I'm pronouncing it right. The most beautiful. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Nothing will prevent the people of Jannah from looking at their Lord except the garment of dignity veiling his face above the garden of the residence. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. Unlike the disbelievers whose family and ties will end on the Day of Judgment, the believers in Jannah will enjoy the pleasurable family life. They will be reunited with their righteous relatives, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, translation of which, the believers' reward will be gardens of residence that they will enter with whoever was righteous among their fathers, their spouses, and their descendants. This ayat is in chapter 13:23. Their food, some information concerning their food. The people of Jannah will eat the choicest foods. They will recline peacefully and joyfully under shades of magnificent trees, whose branches hang low and heavy with fruits waiting to be picked. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, translation of which, indeed the righteous will be among the shades, will be among shades and springs, and fruits from whatever they desire. It will be said, eat and drink in satisfaction for what you used to do. Indeed, we thus reward the doers of good. Chapter 71:41-44. They will also eat the finest of meats. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it says, translation of which, and we will provide them with fruit and meat from whatever they desire. Chapter 52:22. The food of Jannah neither ends nor recedes. Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala says, translation of which, the description of Jannah that the righteous have been promised is that beneath it rivers flow and its fruit is lasting, and so is its shade. That is the consequence for the righteous, whereas the consequence for the disbelievers is the fire. Chapter 13:35. In this life, when we like a fruit and later eat another similar one, we find that the taste is not always the same. We may eat a sweet plum, and the next time it turns out sour. As for the people of Jannah, they will eat fruits that have magnificent taste. When they desire to eat more fruits of the same kind, they will taste as good as before. And this is not something difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, I was having a mutual conversation with my family, and I said, look how many humans you have, okay? Okay, now think. Every human is basically from the same species, but yet, out of every human, if you look at their fingertips, not one of them are the same. Not one of them are the same. This is a similitude of the same fruit, but you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can't give you an even greater taste or keep that taste as enjoying as the first time when you bit it, as the first time you taste from it? You think this is something hard for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Allah Azza wa Jalla says, translation of which, give glad tidings to those who believe and do good, that they will have gardens beneath which rivers flow. Every time they are fed with fruits therefrom, they will say, this is what we were previously fed, for it is given to them in likeness, and they will have therein purified spouses, and they will abide therein eternally. Surah Al-Baqarah, ayat number 25. In this life, even if we eat the most delicious and most expensive food, it will eventually leave our body and in an unpleasant form or smell, you know. As for the people of Jannah, they will enjoy their food and drink, and it will leave their body in the form of musk, smelling sweet, subhanAllah. When Sahabi Ja'abar reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, translation of which, the people of Jannah will eat and drink, but will not defecate, nor blow their nose, nor urinate. The food they eat will turn into musk, smelling burping and turning to musk. They will be inspired to say tasbih, i.e. glorification of Allah, like you are inspired to breathe. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. طيب إن شاء الله تعالى we'll stop here. I still me stopping here may make a couple of people upset, but I have to stop here because it's time for the prayer. But before I go, I want to mention just a couple more just to complete the lesson. Some of their drinks. Indeed, the righteous will drink from a glass flavored with kafur, a spring of which Allah's righteous servants will drink, making it gush forth in force and abundance. Another enjoyment of the Jannah. Immortal boys or immortal youths will wait upon them with cups, pitchers, and glasses filled with ever-flowing springs. It will neither cause them headache nor intoxication. Some of their clothing and jewelry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, translation of which, and when you look there, you will see joy and supreme dominion. And a supreme dominion, subhanallah. Upon them will be garments of green silk and brocade. And they will be adorned with bracelets of silver, and their Lord will give them to drink of a most pure drink. And it will be said, indeed all of this is your reward, for your effort has been appreciated, subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Some information about their dwellings. As for those who have taqwa of their Lord, they will have mansions upon mansions raised high beneath which rivers flow. This is Allah's promise, and never does Allah fail in His promise. The Sheikh gave this commentary. He said that those dwellings will be of enormous proportions and amazing magnificence. Just imagine a 60-mile tent made out of a hollow pearl. Abu Musa, radiallahu anhu, he reported the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, translation of which, indeed a believer will have in al-Jannah a tent made of one hollow pearl that is 60 miles high. A believer will have wives inside it that he will visit, and they will be out of sight of one another. I.e. because of the distance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim. Their seats, we saw earlier that the people of Jannah will recline on embroidered couches. Can you imagine your name being embroidered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? While they enjoy various types of food and drink, and above all, while they look at their Lord, they will enjoy all of this together with their spouses and families. Furthermore, they will often sit facing their friends, and there will be no hard feelings whatsoever between them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, translation of which, indeed, those with taqwa will be in gardens and springs, having been told, enter it in peace and live securely. And we will remove whatever is in their breast of resentment. So they will be brothers sitting on thrones facing each other. No fatigue will touch them therein, nor will they ever be removed from it. SubhanAllah. Two more points and then I have to go. The people of Jannah will The people of Jannah, this is concerning their markets. The people of Jannah will go every week to a marketplace, not to buy and sell such as so much as to meet friends and attain more beauty. Anas reported to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, translation of which in this hadith is in Hadith Sahih Muslim. He said, translation of which, indeed, there is in Al-Jannah a marketplace to which they, the people of Jannah, will go every Friday. In some reports, here it adds, it has heels of musk. The northern wind would blow, throwing musk and perfume into their faces and garments, and causing them to increase in splendor and beauty. When they go back home, their families will tell them, "By Allah, you are more splendid and beautiful since you left us." They will tell their families, "By Allah, you too are more splendid and beautiful since we left you." One last point. Just to enter Jannah is the best prize of all, but once admitted into it, the believers will be granted an ever greater prize. The greatest of all, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala says, translation of which, Allah has promised the believing men and women gardens beneath which rivers flow, in which they will live eternally and blessed. Dwellings in gardens of residence. And greater than that, Allah's acceptance. That is the supreme victory. This ayah tells us that even though the believers will feel most happy to be in Jannah, it is knowing that Allah is pleased with them that they will give them the greatest satisfaction. Together, Allah's acceptance will come His greatest prize. He will make it possible and easy for them to see Him, to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jarir bin Abdullah reported that he and other companions were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one night when the moon was full. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at the moon and then said, "You will surely see your Lord just as you can now see this full moon. It will not hurt you to look at him." This hadith is Bukhari, Muslim, and others. The Prophet ﷺ also said, and I'm going to end on this, inshallah ta'ala, when the people of Jannah enter it, a caller will then say to them, "O people of Jannah, indeed you have a promise with Allah that He wants to fulfill for you." They will say, "What can it be? Has He not made our scales heavy, brightened our faces, admitted us to Jannah and saved us from the fire?" The veil will then be removed between Allah and them. So they will be looking directly at Him. By Allah, nothing of what Allah previously gave them will be dearer to them or more satisfactory than looking at Him. This hadith is in Imam Ahmad, Ibn Majah, and others verified, authentic by Sheikh Al-Adaini. A similar hadith from Suhaib was also recorded in Muslim. I'll read this hadith one more time, then I will leave. This hadith is authentic. When the people of Jannah enter it, a caller will say to them, "O people of Jannah, indeed you have a promise with Allah that He wants you to fulfill for you." They will say, "What can it be? Has He not made our scales heavy, brightened our faces, admitted us to Jannah, and saved us from the fire?" The veil will then be removed between Allah and them. So they will be looking directly at Him. By Allah, nothing of what Allah previously gave them will be dearer to them or more satisfactory to them than looking at Him. With this I end. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وأستغفرك وأتوب إليك.